Just about everyone has something they'd like to change about their bodies. That's a bit sad, isn't it? But where it gets really worrying is when we learn that kids as young as three don't like their bodies. Body image experts say by the time they're teenagers, girls are already pretty resistant to body positivity. So are there ways to get that message under the radar for younger children? Jessica Sanders is a social worker and body image advocate. She's also just written a children's book called Love Your Body. Jess, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me.
What do we know for sure about how young children are when they first start being critical about their bodies?
Well, it happens at different ages, I guess, and different experiences, but we do know that they absorb a lot from the information around them and the visual information. So they're comparing themselves as a huge theme, and they're looking around and they're seeing, like, you know, highly perfected images and that are completely unattainable, and they're comparing themselves against that.
So it's not just Snapchat filters that make you look like a puppy.
That's also not helpful. Yeah.
Do we know what they specifically talk about? Is it the body shape, body size, skin tone, those kinds of things?
I think from my research and from also just speaking with people, weight is a huge one. So 50% of Australian primary school age students want to lose weight. Yeah.
Girls and boys?
Girls and boys, yeah. Slightly higher for girls. But, you know, diet culture is internalised very young. It's a really pervasive message, and we're in a pretty fat-phobic society. So they pick that up pretty quickly. I've also noticed amongst young women, particularly, skin is a huge insecurity. And I think that's also because of the Snapchat filters that just airbrush out your face. So, you know, you're self-objectifying through the lens of your camera, and that actually can change bone structure, you know, making your cheeks, you know, higher and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
That's very creepy for the older generation. Mm. Who is that? Oh, that's my niece. Very strange. What about if parents are making explicit efforts to counter those messages? Do we still see that kids are getting worried about their bodies, or is that kind of parental involvement effective?
I guess that, like, parents shouldn't beat themselves up too much, because there are some things that you can't control, but it's really important to be that positive role model for them. They will come back to that positive messaging, particularly around food, like intuitive eating, not demonizing certain foods, and speaking about yourself in a kind way and others. I think I really picked that up when I was younger. The way that people spoke about other people in bigger bodies made me really scared, you know, about food and about gaining weight and stuff like that. So they can definitely have an important role to play, but at the same time, we do exist in a wider culture, and that's very powerful. Yeah.
And so how do you talk to a young child about body image without freaking them out?
I think the book does it well in terms of, I look at body functionality. So it's like, look at all these amazing things that our bodies can do. Our bodies help us, you know, get up in the morning to even digest our food or smell delicious food, things like that. You know, it's not a tricky topic. It's just speaking about the true value of your body, and then also talking about the true value of self. So they're building their self-worth. So building that up with things that aren't transient, like appearance, or aren't superficial, like appearance. So, you know, all the things that they can do and their personalities, how they make others feel, like that kind of stuff.
So friendships and relationships, as well as the usefulness and vitality of a body.
Exactly. And also their abilities, like particularly young women, they are seen, you know, culturally get a really strong message. Their most important attribute is how they look. And that's just not true. So we need to be really conscious when we compliment them and picking out the things of their personality, all the stuff that they can do, the ideas that they have, the opinions and things that they feel, and valuing those things.
So when you meet a girl in your family, instead of saying, what a pretty dress, what are some things you can say to her?
I say, oh, like, don't you have a vivacious energy? Or like, I saw you over there, like, help your little brother. That was so kind. Like, wow. Just things like that. Or talk about, you know, what are your interests? Even just like getting to know that and like speaking to them like an adult. Like, what are you into?
What have you been up to lately?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I want to know where your head is at and the ideas that you're thinking about, because that is what, you know, what is your true value? Yeah.
So you've chosen to pitch the book Love Your Body at 8 to 12 year olds rather than later teenagers or younger children. Why that decision?
Well, I used to work at the Butterfly Foundation, so I was going into a lot of high schools speaking to boys and girls in year 9, and they had well and truly been in the thick of body image issues for a long, long time. And so when I looked into it, the research told me that it was around 8 on average that they were young people were becoming aware of their bodies, being critical of their bodies. And so when I went looking for resources, I was actually in readings in Lygon Street in Melbourne, and I was like, where is this book? Like, I just can't find this book that speaks to that age group, but also shows diverse bodies. Like, a young girl can't be what she can't see. So if she can't see imperfection just shown, and like, if we can't normalize normal, what hope does she have?
Remember, I'm of the generation that got Where Did I Come From as the sex education book. And I remember looking at that book, and it had a lot of shortcomings. There was not much cultural diversity, for example. But I remember being really struck by the diversity of women's bodies that they showed post-puberty, because that's not something you saw much of in the 70s and 80s in the general media. And it was a really powerful experience. What are some signs, Jess Sanders, that a young girl in our lives might be focusing on their body image in an unhealthy way? What are the red flags?
I guess if they're coming up to you and saying things like, I don't feel, you know, I feel a bit fat is a really common one, I think, because that gets chucked around like a lethal word, even though it's just sort of a descriptor. So things like that, or if they're becoming a bit funny around food, we've got to be really mindful of that, because like I said, diet culture, it's really connected. So they associate, you know, wanting to be thin or wanting to be attractive with eating less food, things like that. And yeah, just speaking about their appearance in general in a critical way, it's all very different to each person. And from what speaking to psychologists who specialize in eating disorders, it can often be traced back to one comment. So taking those comments, like if they get in school quite seriously, and coming in with the resources and counteracting that, so important.
What kind of comment? Just what someone might think of as a casual, jokey comment?
Yeah, kids can be a little bit mean, and adults can be mean too, but just like, oh, like I'm 6 foot tall, so I've always been taller than everyone in my class, including boys. So like people calling me, you know, giraffe, or you're so tall, or you're like, you're not a girl, you're like a boy, like that kind of stuff. You know, unfortunately, there's not enough narratives in our culture of different ways to be a girl or a boy. Like those gender roles are actually what are really keeping us in these tiny restrictive boxes.
And you really struggled as a young person. How did that manifest for you?
Yeah, I did. I think I was just super insecure about my own body and not being feminine enough, not being small enough, taking up too much space. And as I grew into teenage years, dieting was really huge for me. So it was sold to me as a solution. So you're feeling insecure, go on a diet and you will magically transform the physicality of your body and, you know, your bone structure and stuff. So I just dieted through most of high school. And it takes you on this high and low mental health journey as well, of just like, oh, the shame when you fail. And it's not you that's failing, it's a diet. 95% of diets do not work. And even like most people end up gaining more weight in the process. But so that was a real struggle. And it wasn't until I was about 20 that I was like, I have wasted enough energy, brain space, time, when I could have been thinking and forming more opinions or creating or whatever. I'm done with this. I want to unlearn all the toxic lessons that I learned. And that was kind of my motivator behind the book as well. I was looking around these young girls and like, you have so much to offer, and some of you are being stifled by the fact that you're being held back by these restrictions, and it's just not fair.
Teachers in schools that you go to must just raise their hands and shout hooray when you come in and talk to classes.
Yeah, I think so. I actually had a group of year nines the other day, and there was about 10, and eventually there was about 10 women, 10 female teachers that had sort of just gravitated and were just all captivated as well. And it was this really great energy. We're like, yeah, let's do something about this.
Well, yeah. And your mum was a key person in your life. Tell us what she did that helped you shift down a different path.
Yeah, my mum's very clever, and she enrolled me in volleyball. So I was using my body to, I guess, play sport, to achieve things, and also height is really valued in sport. So it gave me a new lens to see my body, which was really great. And that body functionality approach, which is central in my book, is just a loving and appreciating your body for what it does for you, being grateful, yeah, for all the things it does for you.
So if someone comes to you, a young woman like of the kind that you work with, and they have been steeped since birth in this culture of, you know, you are your looks, and it doesn't matter what your body does, just how it looks and how small it is. What do you say to them? How do you react if they say something to you like, I'm feeling a bit fat or something?
I think start with self-compassion, like really hear what she's saying, and don't say, oh, don't be silly, your body can do these things, because like that's a valid feeling and that exists for a lot of people, and it's a process, unlearning. And so we have to be kind to ourselves in that unlearning. So, you know, hearing that person, listening, and then maybe offering your own experience. That's what I try to do, to sort of be vulnerable, and then look at some ways that we can go forward to start slowly unlearning. But yeah, be patient and kind with yourself as well.
So we're on a team together. We're on team unlearning.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. We're chatting with Jess Sanders, who's a social worker and body image advocate, and now an author of a book called Love Your Body. And of course, the illustrator is Carol Rossetti. The illustrations are just gorgeous. What did you want to achieve with those illustrations?
Yeah, Carol's super talented. She's from Brazil, actually. And I really wanted to normalize normal. So I wanted to show these characteristics that we don't normally see in media or books or the content that we consume. So I wrote a list of about 30 characteristics, and I said, Carol, sort of manifest them in the characters how you wish. But things like cellulite, stretch marks, acne that are very normal and most women will have at least one of, if not a combination, are in there. And that's actually the first children's book to have, like, you know, stretch marks and stuff like that. So we worked really closely on developing those characters, but also making sure that they had their own individual identity and authenticity. You know, they wore different clothing, like different styles. And you know, we showed, you know, 15 different ways that girls can be.
And was it a conscious decision to include bodies that were, it was unclear whether they'd gone through puberty and that they had definitely gone through puberty to have that spectrum?
Well, exactly, because everybody goes through puberty different. Not everyone gets boobs and hips. It changes differently. And I think that's where sometimes puberty books fall a little bit short, is that we have these expectations on women. You will grow into a womanly body, what we perceive to be womanly. And that's not always the case. And it always happens at different times as well. So I really wanted to show, yeah, like that many bodies going through a process and leaving it differently, because we are all different.
I've noticed in recent years quite a few books with messages coming out. So there's some girls and some boys, mm-hmm. about how different ways to think about gender as a young person. There's this book, Love Your Body, and there are some others as well. How hard is it to make it a book that kids will want to open as mm-hmm. well and flip through, as well as a book that's got a powerful message that they need to hear?
That's a good question. I think tapping into really how kids think and feel. So I was speaking to a lot of young people. My mum is a primary school teacher, so she was really helpful in, like, what language is attractive to children? How can we speak to them? I used a very, like, conversational, casual voice, and it's my own voice basically speaking to them, so trying to engage the reader. And I think that I know this from myself being younger, that we're really interested in bodies and what they look like. So a young person is going to look at this and they're never going to have seen that kind of probably diversity in a book before. They're going to be naturally interested, and they just will devour it and look at it, and they're sponges. Yeah, so they're taking it all in.
Do you want it to end up in schools as well?
Yeah, it's already in schools. Not every school, obviously, but yeah, we've got teachers that have been purchasing them. I've had, like, principals contacting me and how excited they are. I also donated some copies. It was originally a Kickstarter, so I donated copies to schools, or my kind backers did, and we have teacher lesson plans and student workbooks as well available on the website.
Fantastic. Jessica Sanders, thank you so much for coming in and expanding our understanding about bodies today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jess is a social worker and body image advocate. Her book for children is called Love Your Body. And if this story brought up anything for you around food or your body, you can call 1-800-EDHOPE, E-D-H-O-P-E, to talk to a professional counsellor. It's the Butterfly Foundation's national helpline, 1-800-334-673, whether it's for yourself or someone who's close to you. And of course, you can always contact Lifeline 13 11 14. This is Life Matters on RN.